the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1. And we will read verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask now for your blessing upon the preaching of your word. Help us to be reminded of the significance and the meaning of that which we are considering in this portion of your word. Fill our eyes with a vision of your glorious grace as it is manifested among men through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now with your Spirit, grant that he might work in our hearts and minds and enable us to hear, to understand, and believe the good news. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Probably one of the most familiar events in all of Scripture. It is one of the most commonly read passages of Scripture, particularly at Christmas time, and so it is important for us to understand what's being said here. And I think we sometimes read over this with a lot of just sort of superficially, and we don't really grasp some of the dynamics of what is happening here. Joseph was a righteous man. And he was engaged to be married to a young woman named Mary. The title of this sermon could also be called Joseph's Dilemma, just as well as it could be called the message of the angel. But before the marriage was consummated, he discovered that she was already expecting a child. Joseph was having trouble with Mary's explanation. This story about the angel was a difficult thing. Mary's explanation that an angel came to her and said, you're going to be with child. It was a little tough for Joseph. And, what a shock this must have been to him. Mary was probably, one of the reasons for longer engagements in that day and time was that the young woman was not to marry until she was 16. And so sometimes they would be engaged for a year or so before, and they married quite young. And Mary was probably 16 or 17, maybe 18, but very young. And so what a shock to Joseph. What a disappointment. What a heartbreaking thing this was to find that Mary was expecting a child. Apparently, she had been unfaithful to him already. So what should he do? Joseph, being a compassionate man, decided not to expose her to public disgrace. And there were different ways in which he would handle the situation. And one of them was a very public divorce proceeding, because engagement was very binding. And so he, however, decided to do it privately, because he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. And so he privately determined to make the engagement in a private manner. But before he acted, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream and reminded him that he was a son of David. That's an interesting point, and we will think about that a bit. That reminder would cause him to reflect on God's covenant promise. The son of David would reign over the house and over all the earth as king of the everlasting kingdom of God. See, this is not new things to Joseph. These were things that they all understood and looked forward to. That the Messiah would come. He would be a son of David. And he would reign over all the earth as king of kings. And he would establish his everlasting kingdom. That son of David would be God with us. That is Emmanuel. He would be God, manifest in the flesh. And the sign of his coming was that a virgin would conceive and bear a son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah says, as we read earlier, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The government, what government? What is he talking about? What government is he referring to? Well, the government is that authority to govern all the nations, all the earth. And that is repeatedly spoken to throughout the prophets. And it was not unusual. It was not something that the Israelites would not have understood. They had heard and repeated those promises throughout the generations, that the Messiah would come as the greater son of David, and he would rule over all the nations of the earth, and his rule would be an everlasting rule. It would be an everlasting kingdom that he would set up. So when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph acted in faith. He chose the disgrace and ridicule of men for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now, you say, how do I know that? Well, did you ever live in a little town? We lived in Eureka, South Dakota, 1,800 people. And I don't suppose that Nazareth was much bigger than that. And when we moved into town, before we got to the house, everybody in town knew we were there, knew how many children we had, and knew all their names. The fact is in a small community, things that are happening are pretty well known. I mean, you can't keep secrets very well. And certainly not a secret like this. And so Joseph was faced with taking upon himself the disgrace and the ridicule of men for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now, also Mary bore quite a burden here. You see, we can't, it's nice for us to talk about this sweet story. And it is a sweet story. It's nice to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how she was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she, as a virgin, bore a son. That's a nice story. And it is a true story. But you see, people in her day were not any different than we are. And in fact, they were probably much more upset than we are under we would be under similar circumstances. The fact is that Joseph was faced with a good deal of ridicule, and probably Mary as well. But Joseph believed God. He believed that Jesus would save his people from their sins. He didn't understand it all, but he believed it. Now let's back up a little bit and look at the context of this passage. You might say to me, well, there are only 17 verses back to the very beginning of the book, and they are taken up with a genealogy. And there are a great many things we could say about this genealogy, and I'm not going to take time to delve into it deeply, but I would draw your attention to the very first line of this genealogy, which is of the utmost importance. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This is one of those great introductory sentences that we find in the Bible. For example, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. What greater introductory sentence could you find for the book of Genesis? And in the beginning the Word was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a great introductory sentence that John uses in the beginning of his gospel. But Matthew uses this line, and it's of central significance. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. This sentence, for all its simplicity, makes a startling announcement. Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah. Now, all the Jews of Israel knew. I mean, they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. This was not something new to them. And it's important also for us to see in this passage how that the New Testament and the Old Testament are bound together. The New Testament and the Old Testament are not two different messages. It's one message about one God in three persons, Creator and Redeemer. And this message finds its focus in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of all that the Old Testament had forecast concerning him. He is the Christ. And as we have noted before, that is not his last name. Jesus Christ, that is not his first and last name. The word Christ is his title. It speaks of his office as the mediator. And it speaks of his function as prophet, priest, and king. He is that great prophet who in his very person is the express image of the Father. He is the fullness of the revelation of God in the flesh. But not only that, he is our great high priest who, as our substitute, offers his own life as the sacrifice for all of our sins. He is the priest and the sacrifice. He is our great high priest who has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he makes intercession for us. He is our great high priest, and he is our eternal king. In his coming, he has established his kingdom. It is a kingdom that encompasses the whole earth. It's interesting how definitively the hymns that we sing at Christmas time speak of his kingship, because he came as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he has established that kingdom. Now, that kingdom is not of this world, but it is among us. It is a kingdom of righteousness and truth. It is the kingdom of salvation and life. And when Matthew says a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, he is also the son of David, the long-awaited Messiah who would come as the son of David. You notice that Joseph was reminded that he was a son of David. David and Mary were of the line of David and stood in that line, and Christ stood at the very pinnacle of that line as the coming Messiah who would be the son of David. And as you read the Old Testament and all the promises and of David in his Psalms and throughout the whole Old Testament, the son of David is upheld as the king who is coming to rule all the nations of the earth. We have touched on this many times. But he is not only the son of David, but he is also the son of Abraham. The son of Abraham, through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. If I could in some way or another excite you about the reality of the kingdom, I would do so. But only the Holy Spirit seems to open our hearts to understanding. Do you realize what happened? Jesus Christ came. He was born into this world. He suffered and died in the place of his people. He was born in our stead to take away our guilt in Adam. He was born without sin for us and as us. He lived under the law and satisfied the demands of divine justice as in his life. And then he took upon himself, in fact, the Father imputed to him all of our sins. And he bore the fullness of the wrath of God against all our sin. And as the son of Abraham, he is the one through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. You see, however bleak and however bad may seem the circumstances of this world, God's kingdom is a reality, and he is calling out a people for his namesake from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And the day will come when that kingdom will come in its fullest consummation, and all of God's people will be joined together with the Lord throughout all eternity. And Christ the Lord is that everlasting King who is the son of Abraham, the son of David. John the Apostle records these words for us. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and they will be their, and he will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. John the Apostle, recording the promised consummation of the kingdom of God. Jesus is Emmanuel. by his death or by his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. He has definitively dealt with the fundamental problem of all history, sin. The fundamental problem that each of you and each of us here together today is sin. That which is destroying society and brings death and all kinds of corruption all around us is the problem of sin. And only Jesus Christ can deal with that problem. And he has dealt with it decisively in his birth, in his life and death and resurrection. Jesus, as true and righteous man, took upon himself the responsibility and the accountability for all the sins of all who believe on him. The Father, in his infinite love, took the initiative by imputing to the Son all the sins of all who believe on him. Jesus, the Son of God, who being very God, by nature very God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or clung to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This infant child, born of the Virgin Mary, was Jesus, God with us. He was the Christ. He was the Son of David. He was the Son of Abraham. And he is yet on the throne. He voluntarily suffered the incomprehensible humiliation of the wrath of God against all of the sins of all those who believe on him. And he quenched the wrath of God. He pacified the wrath of God against us. The justice of God has been satisfied. Christ's humiliation consists in being born, and in that low estate or condition, he was made under the law, undergoing the miseries of life, of this life, and the wrath of God, and the curse of death on the cross, and being buried, he continued under the power of death for a time. Jesus, as a true and righteous man, by the power of his Godhood, rose from the grave to justify all who believe in him. So on Christmas, we celebrate the forgiveness of our sins. We celebrate citizenship in the kingdom of God. We celebrate the reality of God's kingdom and eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus Christ is the decisive answer to your sinful condition. You, as one created in the image of God, long to know him and to have fellowship with him. But it is your sins that have alienated you from God. And it is only when your sin is dealt with, and only in Jesus Christ, can your sins be forgiven. For he alone has borne the wrath of Almighty God against your sin. And having borne the wrath of God against your sin, he has pacified the wrath of God. He has satisfied divine justice. And you are free through faith in him. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Redeemer of his kingdom. We pray, we thank him for who he is. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our redemption. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who has come. We pray, our Father, that you would help us to grasp hold of the truth of the gospel and to hang, cling, as it were, to the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation and newness of life. We ask now for your blessing upon each of us. Confirm our faith and build us up and strengthen us to serve you. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.